News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's Monday morning, the Monday edition of Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ, filling in for Meg, who is out sick today. Aw, hope you feel better, Meg. So in the studio with me right now, we have Bruce Cummings, the public affairs officer for NES Pensacola. Also, Steve Opelinek. He's the community planning and liaison officer. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here. So I'm just looking outside right now. A little gray.
A little gray. And today's a big day.
Why is this such a big day?
Blues are coming home.
Okay, so I keep hearing that. You know what I mean?
Are they not?
No. From everything I've heard, yes. Okay. They should be rolling back in. And that's always a welcome thing for the community. One of the things that is always unique, if you've been in the Navy for a little bit, and you're at some bases, every base has its little thing that they're celebrating all the time. But ours, happens 6 months out of the year, and that's the Blue Angels, mm-hmm. right? Everybody wants to see them. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about today is, obviously they're going to start practicing, and individuals are going to want to see that. And we've got the access procedures and all the other stuff that you're going to need to know, right here. So, but there's a lot of other things that go on the installation. And so many wonderful partnerships that we have with the Pensacola area community, as well as Escambia and Santa Rosa County as well. And Steve, we were talking about that when we were sitting outside right there. One of the unique things, and this is an anniversary of sorts that some people here can remember.
not a great anniversary, right. But mm-hmm. The Deepwater Horizon oil spill was about 15 years ago coming up. A couple projects that were meant to help restore and revitalize the Gulf waters, or really along the entire western panhandle. One of those projects landed in Pensacola, and that is the Living Shoreline Project. Living Shoreline Project covers about 3 miles of coastline that runs along the border of NAS Pensacola. It's a partnership with Escambia County, who leads the project. We are supporting that project. And so folks will start to see construction along our coastlines in some of the areas around the base and White Island. White Island is very important to a lot of the citizens that live in the area of the base. So we're excited about it. It's been a long time coming, and it's taken many years to get it to this point. Mm-hmm. And we're funded, and everyone's hired, and we're ready to go. So it's just a matter of time before we get that. But that partnership with Escambia County has been phenomenal. We've worked hand in hand together to get through the, the requirements, and I think we're ready to go.
And when's that going to happen?
It's due to start. Well, it's everyone has been hired as far as contractors go. Mm-hmm. The project technically started this month.
Okay, perfect.
What is that going to do?
So
Living Shoreline
along the area where the Gulf comes in, we call that Lake Frederick. And Sherman Inlet, it's going to enhance the coastline, build some rock structures that'll help keep erosion down. It also helps to help fisheries, small animals to thrive in some areas, so we can create an environment for better habitat. So that's one of the purposes of the project. It will also run along the east side of NAS Pensacola, where the Nazi barracks are, and that should help with a little bit of flood control. And also, like I said, the White Island area where you come into Bayou Grande.
So Steve is a resident expert on everything that goes on between mm-hmm. the base and out in town. I just say that because I wanted to watch him roll his eyes. And
yeah. What are the benefits for White Island? What happens there?
White Island has been migrating for years, and it used to be a pretty good size island that people can pull their boats up on, and you could have lawn chairs out. It's down to a sliver of sand now, still considered White Island. This project will help to define that area. It'll create plantings and it'll be areas for more recreation. Mm-hmm. The county really wants to have recreation used there, and I know the local residents certainly would like that. You can take a kayak out, and there'll be areas that'll be somewhat protected, unlike it is now. Mm-hmm. And it should stabilize it, keep it from moving to Alabama as it has been going now.
Yeah, so the storms have been moving it, sounds like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hurricane Sally did a number on it, mm-hmm. And really, really knocked it down. So it's gonna be better.
And what kind of fill are they bringing in to kind of rebuild the island?
So that area is mostly going to be fill from that area. So they're not bringing it in from anywhere else. So they'll do some dredging to the allowance that the state allows us. And the other two areas we'll get sand brought in from Sand Island, Robinson Island, whichever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a spoil area or a disposal area, I should say. But White Island will come from White Island.
Dredging from like the Port of Pensacola or dredging from the area around the island? You said dredging is going to be, the fill is going to come from the area
I mean from the White Island area now. Mm-hmm. So some of the area outside of where the footprint will be is going to come from that channel that goes through through the channels and through near the neighborhoods.
Are they going to be rebuilding the beaches, using any sort of armor rock or anything like that?
There will be. Yeah. Mostly planting there. There's things that anchor the sand together. So there will be some rock formations that will help define the channel.
Yeah,
and kind of hold back some of that wave action.
And you mentioned that's going to be good for fishing, also bird nesting and things like that too.
Always
perhaps
birds. Yeah. We can't do much about the birds. That's good. The fisheries, that's one of the intents of the entire project, is to try to create that kind of splashy water where little fish can thrive and turn into bigger fish and head out in the Gulf and wind up in somebody's cooler.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good stuff.
Too funny that you say it like that, though. Always a lot of stuff going on with the community and the base. This is, you know, we're going to celebrate 200 years of Naval Air Station, or at the time, Naval Station Pensacola. But as an installation, it's going to be in our 200 years next year.
Oh, wow.
The relationship that we've enjoyed with the community is phenomenal. And projects like that just go to underscore just how important the base is to this community, as well as the community is to the base. You know, we live here, and we're always interested and concerned about what happens in the community that so many of us have chosen to call home. And there, but you said something about that, and you said, you know, Hurricane Sally. So there's a couple of seasons here in the Panhandle, and you know, obviously, you know, that one from the end of May or beginning of June through November is a huge one, and we're not going to say anything about that. But anyway, we got another season that almost coincides with that, and we like to call that Blue Angel season.
Okay, mm-hmm.
As you mentioned before, they're coming back here shortly, and you know, there's practices, and a lot of people want to go see these practices, but there's only a few ways that you can do that. And you know, we're here today just give you a little bit of a rundown on exactly how you can get onto Naval Air Station Pensacola and watch these practices. Now, there's been times where there's been 10,000 people on the base to watch one of the practices. This is an air show. This is just a practice. So we get some congestion that goes on at that back gate. The only way that you can enter the installation, though, is through, we call it the back gate, but we're going to say West Gate. The West Gate at the south end of Blue Angel Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way individuals are going to be able to access the installation. That's going to be from 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock. All right. Now, the Blue Angels generally have their practice session scheduled somewhere in the 10 o'clock time frame. So you got to plan accordingly, because there's only so many parking spots. We were talking about that before, too, the way that you know, the way the parking works on that. You want to fill me in a little bit on that one?
We have, excuse me, we have museum workers who help park, and they know the capacity. So it's not a person limit. It's a car limit or a vehicle limit. Once those numbers are starting to come out, they try to communicate with security just to let security know where they're at with parking. And then at some point, security has to say, we're full. And when we're full, there's no more. It certainly makes people unhappy while they're sitting out there on Blue Angel Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to work within that limit. It's what we can handle on the base. Bruce had mentioned before we had 10,000 vehicles or 10,000 people on during a practice. I remember those days. It was chaos on a Tuesday, and it wasn't, you know, it really kind of distracted from normal base operations when you have that many cars on. So now we manage it along with the museum who really helps us out with that and our base security to help make it smooth for everyone.
There is another thing, and this is another partnership that we did. It was about a year ago, and we got this phenomenal sign outside the web gate. I can't even remember the size of this thing, but it's a movie screen size, you know, thing. And we can put updates on that about that. Now, that was a another community level thing. Where did that one come out of? Steve?
So that started with a defense infrastructure grant through the state of Florida. We have these opportunities along with the county to partner with the county to request money to do projects that benefit the community and the base mission at the same time. These are all projects that must be done off the base, so we generally use it for encroachment. But in this case, we felt we needed a way to reach out to people entering the West Gate. So this sign created a local sign company, and they did a great job on it. The county managed the project again, and we basically gave them our ideas and helped them to design it. And that is sitting proudly at the West Gate right now, and it's informative. If not, it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. So it's got a couple purposes there. And if, you know, if we had to close the base for some reason, or if we had to get a message out to the public, it would be a place that Bruce and his office would let people know what was happening if there was a different in condition. So very happy with that sign, and very happy with the partnership we have with the county.
Wonderful.
Outstanding stuff. That one, that sign, that's been we had a lot of positive feedback on that. It's just a chance for people to see some of the stuff that they're going to witness when they're coming in for these Blue Angels practices. We make it a point to throw up as many pictures as we can about what's going on, along with the information and everything. But so when people are queued up waiting to go, they've got something neat to look at. We tried some of the videos last year, you know, when people are sitting there in line, and I got so much positive feedback on that, because, you know, we got some of the, you know, Blue Angel maneuvers that they do. You know, we had some videos of that were really cool, and one of the guys that works in the office cut those together really nice, and got a lot of positive feedback from some visitors from all over. That's one of the interesting things about this. Now, for individuals that live in the Pensacola area, they're already 100% aware of how that West Gate can get, mm-hmm. you know, during the practice days.
Oh, yeah.
But for some of the people that are traveling, because this is a place where people come in the summer,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a little bit of a summer vacation, they've found the sign useful, as well as the social media stuff that we're putting out. So we always try to put things out. Just remember, hit the Naval Air Station Pensacola social media pages. That's going to be on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram for information about coming to visit the installation. One of the things I really wanted to talk about, though, is getting onto the base. All right. So, you know, if you're here, you wanted to come and go to the National Naval Aviation Museum, which you haven't been. It's phenomenal. All right. That's another one. A little shameless plug, I guess, I could throw in there. All right. But it is a very, very storied place. You know, a lot of history there.
Mm-hmm.
Naval aviation is a lot like your sports stuff. They have stats for everything. Right? But this is a chance you can go and you can look at some of that stuff. Anyway, to get onto the installation, though, just make sure that everybody in your vehicle has got over the age of 18. They got to show a single government-issued identification card. This is like a state-issued driving license or a passport. Just remember, public access to NAS Pensacola is available from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. That's every day, right? Now, everybody's always asking me, when are the Blue Angels going to practice? And that's something you can find on the National Naval Aviation Museum's website. They're going to have a schedule of the practice as well as the autograph sessions. So make sure you check that out before you go, or before you venture down the way. Right there.
What are some items that people should not bring with them to the base?
Well, obviously, one of the big ones that we put out there is there's no weapons. Naval Air Station Pensacola is federal grounds. There are no weapons permitted on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whether you have a concealed carry or not, absolutely no weapons are going to be permitted on that. Security does deal with that on occasion, and they're very stringent with it. So I encourage everybody, just leave any weapons that you have, despite the fact that you might have a concealed carry. Just leave that at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's make this enjoyable for everybody. One of the other things we wanted to stress, when you're not ready and you come up to, you know, the West Gate, you know, to venture on here to watch a Blue Angels practice or just to go to the museum or something, when you get stopped right there, that slows up the traffic. Have everything ready and make sure you're, you know, make sure you're complying with some of the regulations that are put forth. I mean, they're, you know, the proper ID is always the big one. Make sure that everybody's got that ID card ready to rock and roll. And one of the other things that you can't bring on, you know, when you're visiting that way is boats and boat trailers. Not going to be allowed to bring those on. There's nowhere to launch them from NAS Pensacola unless you're a DOD ID card holder. Another thing I wanted to bring up right there is the main gate, which is at the south end of Navy Boulevard. Now, that's only going to be open to Department of Defense identification card holders, you know, throughout the year. That's a standard procedure that we've adopted, and that works. So when you are, you know, planning your trip and getting ready to come here, just remember you're not going to be able to access the installation through the main gate. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go around to the west gate, all right? And that's at the south end of Blue Angel Parkway. So make sure that when you're typing it into your maps function or something like that, make sure you hit West Gate at the south end of Blue Angel Parkway, and that's going to bring you to where you need to go.
I would guess the one exception, though, is if they're visiting the golf course.
Well, that you know, that's going to be a little bit of a different scenario. The mm-hmm. individuals that are coming there are going to have a DBIDS card and access to the installation that way. So just for your general visitation, you know, and all of that,
right.
They're going to have to, everybody's going to have to go through the West Gate.
Right. So Blue Angels, Museum, Lighthouse.
Yeah. All of that. All that, of our, what we call those, the areas of public interest.
Exactly.
Right? So
and
they're
the cemetery also is, to your point, the cemetery is also through the front gate also with, mm-hmm. with access.
But those will all be pre-coordinated movements, and individuals will be aware of where they need to go. General public, West Gate. South end of Blue Angel Parkway. You know, some of the things, you know, the museum does a wonderful job of doing. They've been doing this for years. They know what's up. And there are a few things that they've got going on as well. You're going to get directed to where you need to park to go watch this. And that's, you know, it's pretty good, cut and dried. The security and the volunteer efforts at the museum are phenomenal, and they're going to get you where you need to go. But you'll follow that to go to the parking. And one of the things that they ask is keep an identification on you at all times. You know, when you're visiting, you know, on that and going down to the flight line, make sure you've got your ID on you right there. The following items are prohibited on the flight line. So one of the really cool things about watching the Blue Angels practice from the National Naval Aviation Museum, which is the only authorized place on board NAS Pensacola to watch that, is you're going to go right up to the flight line. You're going to get to see this. And you've got individuals there that are announcing things, letting you guys know what the pilots are doing, you know. And a lot of these guys were pilots themselves. So they've got a little bit of an inside track on it. But some of the things that you can't bring on board to the flight line down there is alcoholic beverages, drones of any sort. And we got countermeasures in place, so let's not be bringing those. And your backpacks and coolers got to stay in the car unless it's like a diaper bag or a medically necessary bag or something like that. So, and, you know, Steve touched on this before with the maximum number of people allowed at the museum. There's not really exactly a number on that one. It's just the vehicles. How many individuals, how many cars, individual cars that can get parked in that lot. But when that happens, mm-hmm. we're going to cut off access through the West Gate. So you got to plan accordingly for that. Now, individuals that are showing up at the West Gate, you can't get there at 7 in the morning and wait for it to open for the practices. They're going to turn you around. So you got to kind of plan that accordingly. But some of the other things we've talked about with, you know, there's some neighborhoods and stuff out the back there. And we're trying to encourage everybody to be a good neighbor.
Agreed. So that is very important. We have, you know, subdivisions around the West Gate area. They still need to conduct their day. They know, obviously, the people that live there, they know what's going on the base, but they also need to get out of their subdivisions. Another partnership with the county transportation is we at least put the signage out on Gulf Beach Highway. We also have do not block boxes, so big white boxes that are letting people out of their neighborhoods, and we ask that people observe those just like you would in any city where they say do not block the intersection. So we have to do all of the little things we can to also be good neighbors to our neighbors, mm-hmm. be the best way to say it. And we realize everyone's excited. They're waiting in line, hoping they're going to be one of the cars that gets parked. When, if you're not, then you can't sit at somebody's front yard. You can't block their neighborhoods. And we really don't want you out playing on Blue Angel Parkway. It's still a state highway. Mm-hmm. And we've seen people out, you know, playing hacky sack and got the tent out along Blue Angel Parkway. That's not good. There are other areas to watch if you're not going to get on base. One of the places I like to mention to folks is Bill Dixon Park. It's on the north side of the base. It's a county park. It's wide open. I go out there when there are practices, and there's 10 people there, and there's plenty of space if you really just want to see the Blues fly over.
It's not a secret anymore.
That's right. And nor should it be.
Put it out.
That's right. Nor should it be. It again, observe those neighborhoods too. So we definitely want to be good neighbors. Mm-hmm. And we want the visitors to come to also help us with that.
Yeah. A couple of questions. So first of all, if you have a veteran, for example, who has a walker or a wheelchair, what is that walk like from the parking lot to the flight line?
It's a little bit of a distance, but the museum does a great job of, you know, identifying some individuals that might be mobility challenged, and they've got a parking area that's a little bit closer. It's still going to be a little bit of a walk, but right when you get through that main gate, they also provide a little bit of a shuttle service. It's about a football field length, you know, to get down there. But they've got some trams that are going, and they will help people get to that area. All right. Now, there are chairs for rental down there. These are all museum things that they do. But individuals can bring their own chairs as long as they're not blocking any of the, accessibility for anyone else. But for individuals that are mobility challenged, they'll make sure that you get to where you need to go.
Okay. We did have a question on the text line here. What times are the Blue Angels practices this week?
So you're going to have to go, and you'll have to check the National Naval Aviation Museum's website. There's a lot of websites out there, a lot of social media accounts and everything that, they put out some information. You know, some of it might be good, some of it's not. But the National Naval Aviation Museum, and that is going to be the best place that you can get that. That's navalaviationmuseum.org. They're going to have the information and the schedule out of the practices for the Blue Angels, as well as the autograph sessions and things like that. Additionally, Naval Air Station Pensacola, we've got the social media page. That's NAS Pensacola. And the LinkedIn is NAS TAC Pensacola. And the Twitter, now X, is NAS Pensacola as well. We always put the updates on there about when practices are going to be coming along, as well as some access procedures. So if you missed any of what we were talking about, make sure you hit those up on either your Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll have some of that information for you, and some links as well.
So I would add to that, the question was, when do they practice this week? Mm-hmm. Officially, they don't.
Oh, okay.
They may be flying. If you go to the, you know, like Bruce said, if you go to the website, you'll be able to see their official days of practice. They are just getting back from several months of being in California. So they get a little downtime. They may be up in the jets. You may see them flying around, but their official first practice is the second.
Okay. Any word on the beach buzz today? Is that going to be canceled because of the rain?
I didn't even look at any of that this morning. I couldn't even tell you when that's going on. That's not something that's scheduled or planned. That's, from what I understand, kind of a game time decision for those guys. And like I said, we are the tenants. We keep the lights on and the gates clear, so the people that work and train at NAS Pensacola can get their stuff going. All right. So once again, always a pleasure. We look forward to this every year, making sure that individuals get a chance to get out and see our great base and share some fellowship with our community members.
All right. Perfect. Thank you for being here today.
All right. Appreciate it so very much. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.